Please be seated. Thinking how to respond to Andrew's quip about the clips. Ooh, that sounded good. I can only say I may put the limp into Olympics, but at least I put the GB into Team GB. Yeah. Oh, please. Don't encourage me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way your church has grown over the years. We thank you for the stories and the accounts that we have from Luke's book, The Acts of the Apostles. We thank you for your faithful servants throughout the generations, especially through the generation that we're reading about, that we have read about over these past few weeks. And we just ask now as we look at Paul's example as he spoke out boldly for you, we just ask that you'll help us to speak out for you, that we're confident in what we say, and our confidence is in you alone. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do keep your Bibles open. The reading that Pat brought to us, a slightly shortened version of what we were going to have tonight. We really should have gone from verse 27 of chapter 24, where Rupert finished off last week, right through chapter 25 and right through chapter 26. So you may want to keep it open, page 142 in the New Testament section. A missionary told about an African to whom he had given a copy of the Bible. The African was deeply grateful for the Bible and thanked the missionary profusely for the gift. Several months later, the missionary saw the man again. The missionary was puzzled because the Bible that he had given the man was battered and torn. It looked as though many of the pages were missing. "I thought you would have taken better care of the Bible I gave you," the missionary remarked. "I assumed you wanted it." The man replied, "It's the finest gift I have ever received. It's such a wonderful book that I gave a page of it to my father and a page to my mother. And then I gave a page to everyone in the village." What a testimony to the power of the Word of God, that you want to give it away, to share it with those around you. And at the heart of our faith is a call to share the Word. It's a common call that we share with all of God's people. And Paul encountered God, didn't he, on the road to Damascus. God gave Paul a challenge to share the Word, and he never tired of doing that. Let's look at this passage now, under the heading of standing before an emperor and a king. That was what Paul was called to do. Last Sunday, Rupert told us that we're to expect opposition from all sides, and we're to keep faithfully proclaiming the gospel, all from chapter 24. And as we see this account continuing, we can certainly see Paul up against it and how he responded. But out of these two and a bit chapters, really it's one verse that struck home for me. In chapter 26, verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, "Are you so quickly persuading me, to become a Christian?" And it was that verse that really stood out for me. A king, Agrippa, responding in such a way. How do we think about those words? Possibly some of the saddest words in the Bible. It depends on how we say it. How many times, though, do we hear that not from kings, but from family, friends, colleagues, neighbours, when they hear the gospel, maybe from us, and yet they still can't see it. They may know all the answers, but they cannot grasp that the good news of Jesus is for them. So to understand this verse, chapter 26, verse 28, properly, we have to consider it in its context and examine the events that lead up to this man making such a sad statement. So what was the situation? What should we have read about in chapter 25 that leads us to this verse and Agrippa's response? Well, the Apostle Paul had been kept prisoner for over 2 years in Caesarea by the Roman governor Felix. However, Felix was replaced by another governor named Festus, and straight away, before he can settle in, the Jews are in to see him, demanding that Paul, the Apostle Paul, be delivered to them. You'll see in chapter 25, verse 2, we learn that Festus had just taken office when the chief priests and elders came to complain about Paul. Why? Simple. They hated him. Why? Because they hated his message. Why? Because Paul had been one of them. But now he was preaching a different message. He was preaching the gospel, which they hated. Although he'd been out of the way for 2 years, such was their hatred of Paul that as soon as a new governor was on the scene, they were stirring up trouble. They wanted Festus to bring Paul to Jerusalem in order that they could lay in wait, ambush, and kill him. However, the new governor refuses to condemn Paul. So to set the scene, now, not long after this incident, a special induction ceremony was held for the new governor to celebrate his coming into office at Caesarea. And the Jewish king, Agrippa, comes to visit with his sister, Bernice. They've come to pay their respect to the new governor, a sort of diplomatic visit. And now it's while they're visiting that Festus brings up this matter of his prisoner, Paul, who he had inherited from his predecessor. The king's there. And King Agrippa is interested in this and asks Festus if he could hear Paul for himself. Festus readily agrees, and on the following day, all the local dignitaries are invited. The room full of special people. And we move on to chapter 26, where we read that Paul is given permission to speak. And don't we know it? When Paul speaks, people listen. His speech wasn't the flowing speech of the great orators or the feeble sound bites of modern day politicians. His words in Acts 26 are not spoken lightly, though. Just for the sake of saying it, his words are special. His words are the words of life. He wants those in the room to hear what he has to say. The good news, the gospel, and they were spoken really just for one man, spoken to save the soul of this man, Agrippa. Yes, all the leading men of the city are assembled, but Paul really has one purpose on this occasion. His eyes are focused upon just one man in the congregation, the king, himself. His eyes on Agrippa. He mentions Agrippa's name or a title for Agrippa all the time during his defense. Look over verse 2 and verse 7, verse 13, verse 19, verse 27. He makes direct reference to Agrippa, even though the room is full. He was in this great assembly, but he was talking to Agrippa, and he isn't afraid. What can we take from that? We too should be bold and be ready at all times to give reason for the hope that is in us to all we meet, because we have been commanded to preach the gospel to every living creature. So we've set the scene. But who was this man Agrippa? Let's give him his full title, King Herod Agrippa II. When we read the New Testament, we come across the name King Herod many times, don't we? But it won't be the same king as this one. There was a whole family of these kings. This man was the last of the Herodian kings. It was this man's great-grandfather, Herod the Great, who killed all the baby boys in Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus. It was this man's uncle, Herod Antipas, who beheaded John the Baptist. It was this man's father, Herod Agrippa I, who put to death the Apostle James and would have executed Peter too, but had not the Lord sent an angel to rescue him. Therefore, these were the Herods who had been opposing the gospel of Jesus. All of these men had died or had been disgraced shortly after these events. This was the line that Agrippa had come from. So you can imagine then that when Festus mentions Paul preaching Jesus, Agrippa immediately shows interest and wants to hear him. We read in verse 3 of chapter 26 how Agrippa was an expert with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. And now for the first time, he was about to hear of the true Messiah. Look how Paul talks about his own background, verses 9 to 11. You see, what Paul was telling Agrippa was this: it wasn't just your family that persecuted Christians. Look what I did. It wasn't my grandfather or uncle or father. I was the one, said Paul, who held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. I was the one, said Paul, who organized them and urged them on. I was the one, said Paul, who put them into prison. I was the one who vigorously opposed the Christian faith. Agrippa, if you think what your family has done to believers is bad, look what I did, said Paul. If Agrippa thought that his family background was against him becoming a Christian, Paul says, look at me. Could it be that some of us here are reluctant to become Christians ourselves because of our history, our background, what a family member was like, or what a colleague, a neighbor, a friend, and again a family member might say, if I took that step and believed in Jesus myself? What was Paul's response? Paul's answer to this concern of perseverance in trusting in God, in setting out a life in service of Him, is found in verse 22. Paul simply says, I have help from God. What was the reaction like to what Paul was saying? Well, there'll always be people like Festus, won't they? People who just cannot understand. Festus heard exactly the same things as Agrippa, but his reaction was to exclaim, you are out of your mind, Paul. Too much learning is driving you insane. However, Agrippa did understand. Verse 25 and 26. I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, Paul says. I am speaking the sober truth. Indeed, the king knows about these things, the things that he was telling them. And to him I speak freely, for I am certain that none of these things has escaped his notice. Look at verse 27. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And so we get to that verse, that response from Agrippa. Paul, are you so quickly persuading me to be a Christian? It could appear that Agrippa has come to faith. But in reality, he was a believer in the Jewish faith, not a believer in Christ. The New International Version says of this verse, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian? And different again from the New King James Version, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Almost persuade me to become a Christian. Now, clever people apparently say that this verse is probably one of the most difficult texts in the Bible to translate. It has been translated in various ways. You've heard a few of them just now. And interpreted as a trivial jest by some, bitter sarcasm by others, a burst of anger by some, and some with sincere conviction. Paul said that Agrippa believed. Those things were not hidden, but revealed to him. Almost persuaded. To be almost a Christian, in reality, is a terrible place to be. Festus' reaction is more sensible and more logical. It's more logical to dismiss it completely as a load of rubbish than to believe it all and still not be a Christian, or to be almost a Christian. There's no excuse for being almost a Christian. Paul said in verse 29, whether quickly or not, I pray to God that not only you, but also all who are listening to me today might become such as I am, except for these chains. You see, if God had almost loved us, there'd be no gospel to preach. And if Jesus had almost died on the cross, there would be no forgiveness of sin. If you trust, fully trust, as Paul did, If you fully trust in Jesus, your salvation will be sure. To almost believe and not repent of our sin and turn to Christ is to reject Him. May we all fully and not almost turn to Christ. May we be as bold as Paul as we speak to others of Christ. May we be His witnesses in a world that so often rejects Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we think about those thoughts, those various sayings from Paul himself. And let's think of our own response. We're soon going to say the words, or sing the words, "Tell all the world of Jesus, our Saviour, Lord and King. And let the whole creation of His salvation sing. Tell all men of His greatness, in nature and in grace. Creator and Redeemer, the Lord of time and space." Heavenly Father, help us to fully put our trust in You. Thank You for Jesus, who Paul spoke up for in boldness and with conviction. Help us as we face people to speak of all You have done for us, our neighbours, our friends, our colleagues, our family members. And help them in their response not to almost believe, but to fully believe. Because we pray this and all our prayers in and through the precious name of Jesus, the One who died for us, who rose again, who ascended to the Father's hand and sends His Spirit to be with us now and every day. Amen.